ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभां व्यास शंकर मध्यमां अस्मदाचार्य पर्यंतां वंदे गुरु परंपरां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः। ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। ॐ सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांति। गुड मॉर्निंग टू ऑल ऑफ यू। लेट्स डू द शांति पाठ एंड चांट ऑल द मंत्रास, सिक्स मंत्रास फर्स्ट बिफोर वी एंटर इनटू द सेवंथ मंत्र बिकॉज वी आर स्टार्टिंग अवर क्लास आफ्टर अ स्मॉल ब्रेक। We had some break in between. Therefore, I want you to remember all the mantras. We'll recite the six mantras, then we move on to the seventh mantra. Om Bhadram Karne Bhishrunuyama Devaha Bhadram Pashyemaksha Bharyajatraha Sthirai Rangai Istushtu Vagam Sastanubhihi व्यशेम देवहितैर्यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ भद्रं कर्णे भिश्रुनुयाम देवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुभागंसस्तनुभिः व्यशेम देवहितैर्यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ ब्रह्मा देवानां प्रथमः सम्बभूव विश्वस्य कर्ता भुवनस्य गोप्ता सब्रह्म विद्यां सर्वविद्या प्रतिष्ठां अथर्वाय ज्येष्ठपुत्राय प्राह अथर्वणेयां प्रवदेत ब्रह्मा अथर्वातं पुरो वाचाङ्गिरे ब्रह्म विद्यां सभारद्वाजाय सत्यवहाय प्राह भारद्वाजोऽङ्गिरसे परावराम्। I also want to tell you why I make you chant the mantras. See, even I have been teaching Upanishads for so many years. I learnt an important thing. Pujya Swamiji also used to say this. It is very important for all the students to be able to recite the mantras of Upanishad fluently, eloquently, without any ambiguity, without any confusion, with appropriate pauses, appropriate pronunciation, with appropriate breaking, must be able to chant the mantras. Once you learn that, then when you listen to the unfoldment also, you will remember, you can connect the unfoldment of the words when you recite the mantras. It's very important. That is why I thought, please make a note where I pass and where how I break the mantras and all that. Okay. Atharvaneyam pravadeta brahma atharvatam purovachangire brahma vidyam sabharadvajaya satyavahaya praha asatyavahaya praha sabharadvajaya satyavahaya praha bharadvajongirase paravaram shaunako havai mahashalaha angirasam vidhivadupasannah paprachha kasminnu bhagavo vijnate sarvamidam vijnatam bhavatiti tasmai saho vacha dve vidye veditavye itihasmayad brahma vido vadanti parachaiva paracha. I'm repeating this. Shaunako havai mahashalaha angirasam vidhivadupasannah paprachha kasminnu bhagavo vijnate sarvamidam vijnatam bhavatiti tasmai saho vacha dve vidye veditavye itihasma yad brahma vido vadanti parachaiva paracha dve vidye veditavye itihasma yad brahma vido vadanti itihasma yad brahma vido vadanti parachaiva paracha tatrapara rigvedo yajurveda samavedo tharva vedah tatrapara rigvedo yajurveda samavedo tharva vedah shiksha kalpo vyakaranam niruktam chando jyotishamiti siksha kalpo vyakaranam niruktam chando jyotishamiti dve vidye veditavye itihasma yad brahma vido vadanti parachaiva paracha tatra para rigvedo yajurveda samavedo tharva vedah siksha kalpo vyakaranam niruktam chando jyotishamiti atha parayaya tadaksharam adhigamyate atha parayaya tadaksharam adhigamyate. So until this verse, only introduction we can say, the first mantra discussed that how Bhagavan himself is the beginning link of the Guru Parampara, the lineage of teachers, which means the entire Veda Shastram has come into existence from Bhagavan himself. So whenever we say the Shastram has come into existence from Bhagavan himself, whenever we say Bhagavan himself revealed, an important fact is brought to light that Veda Shastram is not discovered or invented by any intellectual human being who is intellectually bright and sharp. It is not written by any author, by any human being. It is a timeless shastra. Vedaha is a timeless shastra, and which becomes manifest every time the universe comes into manifestation. At the time of Pralaya, Shastram also becomes unmanifest. Again, when at the time of Srishti, when Srishti means again when the universe becomes manifest, Shastram also becomes manifest along with the universe. The whole universe remains unmanifest in Ishvara. The whole universe again comes into manifestation from Ishvara. Similarly, Veda Shastram also remains unmanifest in Bhagavan, again becomes manifest, which means it is not, it has a beginning, doesn't have an end. And this Vedic wisdom has been being passed down, transferred from the teacher's mind to the student's mind through this unbroken lineage of teachers. This is the fact discussed in the, this what is the fact implied, I mean brought to light by presenting a list of few acharyas who come in the parampara. And how Brahmaji taught, then how Angiras, the Rishi, Atharva Rishi got from Brahma, then Angir learnt, then Bharadwaja, Satyavaha, Bharadwaja's son learned, then Bharadwaja taught this to Angir, like this, how this is a para avara vidya, we saw. Para avara vidya means the teaching which is given by the paraha, the teacher, to the disciple, the avaraha. Paraha is a teacher, avaraha is a disciple. We have learned this. Then, in the context, we understand, here there is a, there was a Shaunakaha, a householder, who approached his teacher in proper manner, and who was a Mahashalaha, a great householder, which means a great householder implies he must have lived a clean life of karma yoga and performing all pujas, following dharma strictly, that he was eligible to approach the teacher for the jnanam. And it was his preparedness that is shown in the very question he asked. What is that one thing by knowing which the end, everything in the world becomes known as it were? If the cause is known, the effect is known as it were. Therefore, he asks the teacher, what is the cause of the universe? By discovering which, the universe becomes discovered as it were. Thereafter, the teacher, instead of giving him the direct answer, he said the twofold vidya, one is para, one is apara. The knowledge of the para yaya tadaksharam adhigamyate, para vidya is that by which the absolute, imperishable, indestructible reality is known. Which means knowledge of the absolute reality, knowledge of the ultimate truth, knowledge of the reality, Brahma, knowledge of the Atma alone is said to be paravidya. And knowledge of anything has to rise in the form of a thought only, cognition. Similarly, paravidya also, knowledge of the absolute reality, the truth of the entire universe, without which universe cannot exist at all. That knowledge alone is paravidya. Other than knowledge of Brahman, the Atma, knowledge of anything and everything obtaining within the objective universe is only aparavidya. So to make it clear, the knowledge of anything and everything other than Atma is aparavidya, Upanishad simply states, come on, all four Vedas, all Vedangas, Siksha, Kalpaha, Vyakaran, Niruktam, Chandas, Jyotisham, including the Upanishadic words, all the four Vedas, the words of the Upanishad, which serve as means of knowledge of Brahman, also come under the category of aparavidya only, which you have learned. Thereafter, the sixth verse is an important verse, important mantra. I told you, let us read the sixth mantra now. Why it is an important mantra? This sixth mantra, always in every Upanishad, there will be a crux mantra which presents the nature of the Atma. And the mantra consisting of words revealing the nature of the Atma are the words which serve as lakshanam. Lakshanam means a definition to understand the reality. And here we have seen, already understood, let me read the mantra, important mantra, so I wanted to memorize this mantra. You must be able to read all the mantras fluently. You must be able to memorize some mantras. If possible, memorize the Upanishad, the entire Upanishad. If not possible, at least memorize these few mantras. Yet, in the sixth mantra of the first section, the first mundaka is an important mantra because it presents the definition of the nature of Atma. Definition of Atma means it consists of word. The mantra consists of words revealing the nature of the mantra. How the words reveal the nature of the mantra? I'll tell you. They do not directly indicate the reality, but they imply the reality through negation, the method of negation. Okay. they reveal the mantra through negation, by implication. Yattadadreshyamagrahyamagotramavarnam Yattadadreshyamagrahyamagotramavarnam Achakshishotram tadapanipadam Yattadadreshyamagrahyamagotramavarnam Yattadadreshyamagrahyamagotramavarnam Achakshishrotram tadapanipadam Achakshishrotram tadapanipadam Nityam vibhum sarvagatam susokshmam Nityam vibhum sarvagatam susokshmam Tadavyayam yad bhutayonim paripashyanti dhirah Tadavyayam yad bhutayonim paripashyanti dhirah Yattadadreshyamagrahyamagotramavarnam Achakshishrotram tadapanipadam Nityam vibhum sarvagatam susokshmam Nityam vibhum sarvagatam susokshmam Tadavyayam yad bhutayonim paripashyanti dhirah Tadavyayam yad bhutayonim paripashyanti dhirah So here, dhiraha paripashyanti Already explained the meaning of the word dhiraha. Why a wise person is known as dhiraha. The protector of the intellect is said to be dhiraha. A brave person. Whoever is capable of protecting their mind from fear is said to be the one who has protected his mind. And the one who has protected his mind is said to be dhiraha. I explained this many times. Dhyam rati iti dhiraha. And who is the one who is capable of protecting his mind from the very phenomenon called fear is only a wise person, a jnani. The jnani, the wise person who has discovered the reality of the entirety of the cosmos, obtaining as one's own self. Obtaining as the very truth of I, the first person singular pronoun. Such a person is called Atmajnani is a Dhiraha. Brahmajnani is a Dhiraha. And Dhiraha, those wise people, the brave people who have intelligently protected their minds from the fear, the film called Fear for Good, they see Paripashyanti, they see everywhere. They see, what do they see? They see the reality. Those who have discovered the truth, see the truth everywhere. Always they see, everywhere they see. Paripashyanti means always, everywhere, choicelessly they see the reality. When you go to the ocean, you have no choice of not seeing the water. You don't have choice. You had to see the water. Why? Because you see the ocean means you're seeing the water only. You may not see the, but once you cannot help. Once you see the water being the truth of the ocean, you cannot miss that. You cannot lose sight of the water. When you see the ocean, similarly, the wise people who have discovered the reality cannot lose sight of the reality, the truth of the entirety of the universe, including one's own self. And they discover the truth as their own swarupam. Therefore, paripashyanti, wise people see everywhere, always. What do they see? What do they always choicelessly see? What is that they cannot lose sight of? It is bhutayonim. They see the bhutayonihi. the source, the only source, the only cause of all beings, yad bhuta yonihi. The only cause of all beings, the only source, the truth of all the beings is bhuta yonihi. What is that? They see the reality, and which means what is the reality? What is the nature of the reality that they see? That is what is given in this. Every word reveals the reality by implication through negation. Yat tad is bhuta yoni. Okay. Yat that which is the reality. They see the all pervasive, everlasting reality everywhere, always, to be the one, to be that which is not available for same. Yesterday also told Mandukya class. There we have the word adrishtam, and here we have the word adreshyam. There adrishtam, here adreshyam. Adreshyam means adrishyam, that which is not available for perception through sense organs, that which cannot be seen through eyes. Adreshyam means that which cannot be seen through eyes, which means that which cannot be perceived through any sense organs. Why? Because sense organs themselves function because of the blessing of Atma, the consciousness. So consciousness cannot be an object of perception. Why? Because it is the blessing of consciousness which enables the sense organs function. How can the sense organs, which function because of the manifestation of consciousness, reveal the consciousness? No. Bring, therefore, adreshyam, agrahyam. So not only consciousness, the Atma, the reality obtaining in the form of consciousness, implied by the term Atma, not only is not available for objectification through sense organs, it is not available for, it is not available as an object of action also. By doing something or the other, you can, by performing a puja, by doing any penance, by following penance, by doing that karma, this karma, punya karma, all sorts of karma, shrauta karma, you know, so many karmas are there. Any karma you do, no karma can ever produce moksha, ever produce the reality, which means you can never attain, arrive at the reality as a result of an action. Therefore, agrahyam. Agrahyam means what? That which cannot be grasped, held as a result of an action. So it's not available for obtaining as an object of action also. Which means, why? Because why reality, the consciousness, Atma cannot be attained as a result of an action? Because every sense power, the very activity, any action, physical, oral or mental, any action is possible only when there is life in the body, mind, sense complex. And the life itself is possible only within its manifestation of consciousness. And for manifestation of consciousness is possible because there's a source of manifestation, the pure consciousness. Therefore, the pure consciousness, the Atma, the ultimate truth of action, cannot become an object of action. Okay, agrahyam, agotram. So, Atma is not any form, any physical form. Doesn't belong to any, it's not any physical form. Therefore, agotram, Atma does not have gotram, lineage, family. Avarnam is, doesn't have any varna, because only human beings, human physical forms, okay, the human beings which have, who are birth, have varnas. They classified into varnas, kshatriya, brahmana, vaishya, shudra varnas. Atma doesn't have any varna. All varnas are Atma. Atma is free from varnas. All gotras are Atma. No gotram exists outside of Atma. But all lineages, all families, all family trees, all are Atma, but Atma is free from all this lineage and Varna. Achakshushrotram, Atma does not have eyes and ears. Not only Atma is not an object of perception through sense organs, Atma is free from sense organs. Atma is neither the object of perception, nor is Atma the instruments of perception. Okay? Atma is neither the object of perception, nor is Atma instruments of perception. Atma does not have said eyes and ears, etc. Even though eyes, why? There is no possessor, possessed connection between Atma and anything. Everything is Atma. Body is Atma, Varna is Atma, Gotram is Atma, sense organs are Atma, eyes and ears are Atma, everything is Atma, but Atma is not anything. Atma doesn't have anything. So, Achakshushrotram, Tad Apanipadam, Atma doesn't have hands and legs. And what is that Atma? If Atma is not any of the physical form, Atma is not anything, means what is that Atma? Please understand. Having negated all, everything as anatma, anything perceived is anatma, anything known through any sense organs is anatma, anything attained as a result of an action is anatma, anything having lineage is anatma, anything belonging to any family is anatma, anything subject to all varnas is anatma, anything which has body, sense organs is anatma, anything which is endowed with hands and legs is anatma. Okay, so Atma is not any of these things. So by is what Atma is. Okay. Upanishad does not teach us what Atma is. Please understand. Upanishad, this mantra helps us understand what Atma is not. All these words only say what Atma is not. So we must be 100%. What Atma is not is very clear. If Atma is not anything, then what Atma is? Now, this is Swarupa Lakshanam comes. Each and every word reveals what? The nature of the Atma. Nityaha. Even this word negates everything which is time bound as anatma. Nityam. Okay, Atma is Nityam. Or you can say Brahma. That Brahman is Nityam means Brahman is timeless. Beginningless, endless, changeless, timeless, because it has no cause, causeless. If something has a cause, it has a beginning. It has dependence. But Atma doesn't have any cause of its own. It is of the nature of self-existence. Therefore, it is timeless. It is eternal. Nityam. Vibhu. Vibhu means all. Vibhu, that which alone is shining as everything. There's nothing which is not in this universe, Atma. Everything in this universe is Atma, even though Atma is not anything. That which alone shines as everything is Vibhu. Because it is all pervasive, sarvagatam. Atma happens to be the subtlest reality, lending existence to every form, name and function. Atma is of the nature of all pervasiveness, sarvagatam. And susukshmam. It is possible for Atma to be all pervasive because there's nothing beyond Atma. Atma is beyond everything. There's nothing subtler than Atma. Atma is the subtlest of everything. So susukshmam. Sukshmam means subtle. Susukshmam means sukshmatamam. Atma is the subtlest reality because there's nothing subtler than consciousness. Therefore, Atma, the reality, consciousness implied by the Atma and Brahma is subtlest reality, so it is all pervasive. And that being all pervasive, it is not subject to any change. It is not subject to any motion, movement. Change means, change implies movement. And movement is, means motion. That movement is possible only if there is a space where it can move from one place to another place. So all the words come sequentially beautifully. Sarvagatam, because it's susukshmam, because it's sarvagatam, it is of the nature of changelessness, not subject to any change, avyayam. Okay? And how do you, tad bhuta yonihi, it is this, the reality implied by the term Brahman or Atma, which is of this nature alone, is the Bhuta Yonihi, the only source, the only cause of all the beings, the only cause of the entire universe. So Dhiraha Paripashyanti, wise people see such reality. But how can you see that? That is not said here. The Sampradaya teaches. You can arrive at that reality which is of that nature only as your own Sarupam. Is it clear? You can arrive at the reality only as your own Sarupam. You can never arrive at it as an object. That is why Upanishad presents the nature of the Atma. Sampradaya tells how can you arrive at it. Because already negated. So that drishtam, drishyam, drishyam, grahyam, sagotram, savarnam, okay, anything which belonging to varna, gotram, perception, everything you can negate it. When you negate, your body becomes negated already. Definitely. So now, including the object, your body minus complex, entire object universe becomes negated as anatma. What cannot be negated is, in fact, you can say the known becomes negated. Everything and anything known comes under the category of the known becomes negated as anatma. Known is negated, known becomes negated as anatma means it includes what? Even the body, mind, sense complex. What cannot be negated is only the knower subject. And if you ask that knower subject, knower, because knower, you cannot, knower does not come under the category of any of this, gotra, etc. And who this knower is, if you ask, really speaking, you would be shocked. The knower is a formless reality. Knower is a formless reality. And the formless reality implied by the term Atma or Brahma, obtaining in him of consciousness, is given this qualification, status of being the knower from the standpoint of the known. Really speaking, from the standpoint of the consciousness Atma, you can't even say the knower. That is why I used to always say this, Atma is not the knower, but the knower is Atma. And Manduka Upanishad, as I told you, how it was made very clear, the known cannot exist independently without the knower, therefore known is Mithya, knower is Satyam. The knower is Atma, known is Anatma. Therefore, how do you arrive at it? You arrive at the reality of the whole cosmos, obtaining in the form of pure consciousness, obtaining as the essential nature of the individual, that is very truth, the content of I. And for which Shastram teaches this method. What is, if you analyze the three states of experience, in waking state you know you are, in dream you know you are, in deep sleep state you know you are. But in deep sleep state, even when there's no experience of the world remains unmanifest, undifferentiated. Even then, you are there, not knowing your own existence in sleep. And you do not know that you were in sleep. You do not know you are in sleep. You do not know the world exists in sleep. Not knowing your own existence and the existence of the world, you are very much in sleep. On waking up from sleep, you're able to recollect your experience. See this, being able to recollect your experience of the deep sleep state is the proof that there was experience in deep sleep state, isn't it? See, there must have been, experiencer must be there in deep sleep state, but for whose presence experience is not possible. Without experience, you cannot recollect the experience. You cannot talk about the experience. See, we all have, in the waking state, we all have our own experience. What are we able to recollect from sleep? Some people, see, suppose we dreamt, you can recollect your dream experience on waking up from sleep. If you had a very deep sleep state also, you can recollect your deep sleep state experience on waking up from sleep. You can say, I slept very well, not knowing anything of my own existence or existence of the world. Or you can narrate the dream story, what you dreamt. Which means, the very fact that you're able to recollect is possible because you are there as an experiencer in other two states of experience. And that experiencer is not doesn't have any form. experiencer is not at all a form. Okay, nothing to, the experiencer is not the body, mind, sense complex. Experiencer is formless, abstract consciousness, Atma. Okay, the manifest knowledge, the essence, the experiencer is the Atma, the consciousness. Therefore, formless reality, that's why it's only a qualification attributed to this Atma. This is how you arrive at it. Afterwards, you should see who the one who obtains in deep sleep state, knowing the total ignorance, that not knowing one's own existence and not knowing the existence of the world, who obtains there, if you see, the knower doesn't have any form. And it is that knower. So knower is always not subject to time. Know that knower qualification is subject to time. Knower qualification comes and goes. But the knower actually is pure consciousness, Atma, which is not subject to time. Why? Knower is not subject to anything objectified. Not bound by anything objectified. Time also is object of knowledge. Space is object of knowledge. Therefore, knower who is distinct from time and space, who is able to objectify time and space, is free from time and space, spatial limitations. Okay? It is this Atma. Therefore, the understanding must come this way. The reality of the Bhuta Yonihi Brahma, which is of this nature, revealed by these words, is nothing but my own Swarupam, myself. For I, the self, am Brahma, the Bhuta Yoni of the whole cosmos, Yoni, the cause of all beings. Okay. This is the literal understanding which we already have. And now let us move on to the seventh mantra. I have to take so much of time to bring you back to the class because we are meeting after a long break. Now, we go to the seventh mantra.
Yathornanabhisrjate grinnate cha. Yathornanabhisrjate grinnate cha. Yatha prithivyamoshadhayasambhavanti. Yatha satah purushat keshalo mani. Yatha ksharat sambhavatiha vishvam. Yathornanabhisrjate grinnate cha. Yathornanabhisrjate grinnate cha. Yatha prithivyamoshadhayasambhavanti. Yatha satah purushat keshalo mani. Tatha ksharat sambhavatiha vishvam. Yathornanabhisrjate grinnate cha. Yatha prithivyamoshadhayasambhavanti. Yatha satah purushat keshalo mani. Tatha ksharat sambhavatiha vishvam.
Okay, this is another beautiful verse where the absolute reality, the ultimate truth of the entire cosmos is present, implied by the term Brahman or Atma, is presented here as the cause of the universe. When Karana Karya Prakriya is brought in here. It's a prakriya. Karana Karya is a prakriya, means a method of unfoldment. And here, whenever the prakriya is used, how Upanishad presents Brahman as the Karanam, Jagat Karanam. Already the word Bhuta Yonihi was mentioned, the cause, the source of all the beings. But it means the entire universe must have come into existence from Brahman only. That Brahman, which is not anything in this world, but that Brahman, which alone is in the form of everything in the world, is the cause of the universe, from which alone everything must have come into existence. So Upanishad presents Brahman as the Jagat Karanam. So how has universe come into existence from Brahman? for which Chopin gives an example, which doesn't give a simple example here. Whenever we think of any production or creation, we cannot avoid the fact that any product must have definitely two causes. There's also another cause. One is the three causes, to be frank. Mainly two causes, the intelligent cause and the material cause. The third is, so this intelligent cause in Sanskritam is said to be nimitta karanam, intelligent cause or efficient cause is said to be nimitta karanam. Then material cause is said to be upadana karanam. And we have a supportive cause, sahakari karanam, nimitta karanam, upadana karanam, sahakari karanam. Nimitta karanam is intelligent cause or efficient cause. Upadana karanam is material cause. And sahakari karanam is supportive cause. Mainly we talk about two causes. The two causes include sahakari karanam also. So here the two causes, any creation presupposes two causes. And with reference to the entire creation, the entire creation is looked upon as karyam, creation, the product, which means the cause, the universe also must have two causes. What are those two causes? Both the causes are one and the only reality. The only reality, Brahman, enjoys the status of being Ishvaraha, the Lord, as the cause of the universe. When you look at the reality as the cause of the universe alone, then Shastram attributes the Ishvara status. Please understand, Ishvaraha, the Lord of the whole cosmos, is a Brahma. Why? Brahman alone, the Lord of the universe is Brahma, means Jagadishwaraha. Jagataha Ishwaraha, Jagatam Ishwaraha is Bhagavan, we say. Why? So Ishwaraha, Bhagavan is a qualification, title attributed to Brahman. There is no Ishwara other than Brahma. There is no Ishwara, the Lord, other than the reality. Why? Because it is this Brahman which alone is the intelligent cause of the universe. It is same Brahman which alone is the material cause of the universe also. Okay. As the cause of the universe, when the Brahman is attributed, given this qualification of Ishvara, we look at Ishvara as the one who is of two aspects. Ishvara is of two aspects. One is what? The Purusha aspect and Prakriti aspect. The Prakriti aspect is said to be Maya. Purusha aspect is said to be Chaitanyam. Chaitanyam and Maya. Chaitanyam is consciousness. And Maya or Prakriti is nothing but material aspect. The inert aspect. Consciousness aspect, inert aspect. Consciousness aspect is implied by the term Purushaha. And the inert aspect is implied by the term Prakriti. And this Prakriti is also looked upon as the power of the same reality. Brahma Shaktihi. Therefore, this Brahma Shakti, otherwise known as Maya or Prakriti or matter, doesn't have independent existence of its own. Therefore, it is not countable as a parallel reality. Therefore, we say is mithya. Power of the reality or the inert aspect of Ishvara, otherwise said Maya or Prakriti, does not have independent existence of its own, therefore non-countable as a parallel reality, is inseparable from the reality. The word is mithya. Whereas Purusha aspect, the consciousness aspect, is independent of the prakriti aspect. And consciousness is independent, is of the self-existence. Therefore, Purusha and Prakriti are two orders of the only reality. Satyam and Mithya are two orders of the only reality. And Purusha aspect of Ishvara is the intelligent, efficient cause of the universe. And the Prakriti aspect of Ishvara is the material cause of the universe. And they're ever inseparable. They're not two different things. Even though they are not one. Purusha and Prakriti are not one. They are not two. They are neither one nor are they two. They are non-dual. Okay? So Ishvara is one non-dual reality. Ishvara is one non-dual reality. Ishvara is a qualification attributed to only non-dual reality. How Bhagavan is intelligent cause? How material cause? That is said beautifully here in this verse. Yathornanabhisrajate gannate cha. Urnanabhihi, the spider. Urnaha nabhau yasya. Yasya nabhau urnaha asti saha urnanabhihi. Urnaha means thread. Okay? Thread. Even wool is called urna. But nabhihi means navel. The one who is endowed with the thread in his stomach, okay, is called urna nabhihi. Nool vaitran. Okay? Thread stomached. Bull stomach, that's the meaning. Urna nabhihi is spider. Urna nabhihi srijate. Urna nabhihi grinnate. Srijate atmanepadam. Grinnate cha. It holds also. But how does urna nabhihi srijate grinnate cha? Urna nabhihi creates. Urna nabhihi, the spider creates. Urna nabhihi srijate. And not only does it create, it also holds grinnate. So, how does it create? It does not depend upon anything external outside of its body for creating its website. They're not websites, they're web. Okay? All the time thinking of creating website, the website comes to my mind. Okay. I tell Sachin, create website. I've been telling him. So, it comes to my mind. Web. Okay? Spider creates its own web. And spider creates web. What does it depend upon in the world? No. Spider is absolutely independent. With reference to spider's web, spider is the creator of the web. It's absolutely independent. It does not need any help, any support, either for knowledge or for material. The knowledge required to create its own web, nobody instructs the spider. Okay? Spider is already naturally endowed with adequate required knowledge. Don't expect spider to have big an architect and all, okay? We need an architect to build our houses. But spider has adequate, Andre, very important, adequate knowledge required to create its own web for its survival. Spider can create the web which is required for its own survival. And to create that web, whatever knowledge is required, spider is endowed with that knowledge, adequate knowledge. Therefore, spider doesn't need any training, coaching. It is self-sufficient, self-knowledge. It has its own knowledge. And material required, which shop should I go and buy this? Oh my God, before constructing, to select this, No, where to buy this, which shop I should go for, which shop is better. So, such a headache. Spider does not need to worry about material. Why? It has the material required for building its own web, spider is endowed with. For spider is both maker and the material. The maker required for the knowledge required for web, creating its own web is already there on the part of the spider. The material required to build its web also is already there on the part of the spider. Therefore, with reference to spider's web, Urnanabhi's web, the creator, maker and the material. Maker means, maker implies knowledge, the intelligent cause. Without knowledge, how to build it? How can you make it? How to? The knowledge is there. The knowledge implies what? Maker implies knowledge, intelligent cause. And the material is what? Material cause. So, Nimitta Upadana Karanam of the web, spider's web is the spider. Both. Similarly, so spider's example is given. Yatha Urnanabhihi Srijate Grinnate Cha. Again, when the spider any traces any danger beforehand, immediately, quickly, it can withdraw the whole of the web. It can roll back. You know that? It can roll down. I mean, it can roll back. It's the thread which has come out of its small stomach. Okay? It loses that some wax-like stuff. It can get it out. And that like a small thread can create a web. And it can also roll it back and take it inside its own stomach. You know that? Sometimes if you destroy, it's a different thing. Otherwise, it's not getting wasted unless it gets destroyed by us. The spider can roll it back again, take it inside. Grinnateja. Srijate grinnateja. Amazing. Similarly, the whole Jagat becomes manifest from Bhagavan. Again, the whole Jagat remains unmanifest in Bhagavan only. And maker is Bhagavan. Material also is Bhagavan. The intelligent cause is Bhagavan. Material cause also is Bhagavan. And who is that Bhagavan? Who is Ishvara? Brahma. Yatha Urnanabhihi Srijate Grinnate Cha. Tatha Ishvaraha Jagat Srijate Grinnate. That's how Bhagavan creates the universe. Means what? Bhagavan brings the unmanifest universe into manifestation. Where is the knowledge? Before creating the web, where is the knowledge? Where is the material required for creating a web? Can you see? You only see the web for spider. You cannot see through physical eyes. Please understand. When you see the spider, you can see the spider. You can see six legs and all that, small head and all that. But you cannot see through your physical eyes the knowledge of the spider. You cannot see the material with the upstanding within its stomach. You cannot see through physical eyes. You can see the external stomach, but you can't see through physical eyes the material which it has inside. It's invisible, imperceptible. Is it clear? You perceive the physical form of the spider, but you cannot perceive material required for creating the web, the knowledge required for creating the web is there unmanifest in spider. Undifferentiated from spider. And when it creates, you can see, after creating, you can see the knowledge of spider becomes manifest. Oh, we didn't teach spider. Spider had created its own web means the knowledge, adequate knowledge required for its survival, required for creating its own web, having become unmanifest, which was unmanifest before, and becoming manifest in the form of web, you can see. When you see the web, you don't see the knowledge. You understand the knowledge being manifest in the very web. When you see the spider's web, you don't see spider's knowledge to physicalize. You understand the spider's knowledge being manifest in the form of the web. You can never see the knowledge, but you can understand the knowledge being manifest. Is it clear? Of course you see the knowledge They're inseparably, you see what? The web. Can you separate spider's knowledge, which is manifest in the web, and the web, separate it? It's called what? Abhinna Nimitta Upadana Karana. Is it clear? You cannot separate the knowledge of spider, which is manifest in the very web, and the web, the material made of matter, it being inseparable. Say, Abhinna Nimitta Upadana Karanam. It's an important lesson. Abhinnam. I don't see through my physical eyes the knowledge obtaining in the spider. But when the web is created, I understand the spider's knowledge of the web being manifest. And that knowledge, which is intelligent cause, efficient cause. And the web, it is nothing but material product. They're inseparable. Is it clear? It's called Abhinna Nimitta Upadana Karana. Inseparable material and the intelligent cause. And the web is Unanabhi. I'm very glad today it comes out nicely. So in the same way, the whole Jagat also, when you fall asleep or after death, the universe becomes unmanifest. When the universe is unmanifest, it is not non-existent. When before the creation of the web, then you see the spider. So the knowledge and the matter are not non-existent, but unmanifest. Understand? Because what is already there alone becomes manifest. Therefore, the Jagat also, the universe of innumerable countless forms, names and functions, the living and non-living beings, everything, consciousness is, everything is unmanifest in condition and everything becomes manifest. When the universe becomes manifest, you see the universe of material objects. Okay? At the same, you can understand Ishvara's knowledge being manifest in the form of the world. You don't see knowledge of Ishvara. You don't see knowledge of Bhagavan to physicalize, but you can understand the knowledge of Ishvara being manifest in the form of the universe. So knowledge, the efficient cause, and the universe of material objects are inseparable. Therefore, is it clear now? You cannot separate knowledge. You cannot see through physical eyes the knowledge, but you can understand the knowledge being manifest. The world, when you see the world, you appreciate the knowledge being manifest. You appreciate the manifestation of knowledge, but don't see through physicalized knowledge. Similarly, the whole world is what? The material product. The material universe, the universe of world of material objects is inseparable, non-separate from the knowledge. That's why Ishvara is Abhinna Nimitta Upadana Karanam of the Jagat. And the same universe again becomes, when it becomes unmanifest also, it becomes, doesn't go anywhere outside of Ishvara. And who is another than Brahma? Okay. The whole universe manifest is Ishvara. The whole universe unmanifest also is Ishvara. It is manifest, the universe is manifest. You give a different title, Virad Ishvaraha, Vaishvanaraha, or you call it Vishnu. The whole universe becomes unmanifest. You call it Antaryam Ishvaraha. Virad Ishvaraha, Antaryam Ishvaraha. Shivaha. Is it clear? This is how Yatha Unanabhihi Sujate Ghanatecha. One more example is given here. Yatha Prithivyam Oshadhaya Sambhavanti. Prithivyam, see, Oshadhayaha Sambhavanti. Oshadhihi Oshadhi Oshadhayaha. Herbs, plants, Sambhavanti originate, come into existence. Just as plants which were already unmanifest inside the earth, okay, inside means what? When you see the plain piece of land, you don't see any plants. Plain piece of land, you see only the earth part, earth. But when it rains, And you see how the plants come into existence, originate. So it means prithivyam oshadayaha sambhavanti, that unmanifest. What was the plants are unmanifest already, okay, in the earth, become manifest later on. Prithivyam sambhavanti. And when the plants which come into existence are what? All living beings. But the earth is non-living thing. From a non-living thing, the living beings come into existence. Similarly, okay, here from Ishvara, the living, non-living thing, living beings originate. Now, yatha prithivyam oshadhaya sambhavanti, and also satav purushat keshalo mani. See, satav purusha means, satav purusha means the person who is alive, a conscious living being. From a conscious human being who is alive, from him, kesha lomani. Kesha means hair, loma also means hair. And the hair which grows on the body is called loma or roma. And hair which grows on the head is called kesha. Okay? Bodily hair is roma or loma. Head hair on the head is called kesha. So kesha lomani, they come into existence, they grow. Kesha lomani sambhavanti, they come into existence. Okay? And kesha and roma are what? They're inert. They're inert in nature. So that's why you're able to cut it. Haircut, the barber survey because of the process. Otherwise, you are able to do your haircut. Because it is inert in nature. The hair is also conscious. You can never do cutting, hair cutting. Otherwise, you must have anesthesia all the time. Okay? The hair is inert, so you can cut it easily. Hair cut is possible. But the inert hair grows from alive, okay? A conscious head. A conscious skin. And conscious, I mean, living being, living plants grow from non-living earth. Is it clear? Come into existence. Similarly, yatha sataha purushat kesha lomani tatha. Yatha tatha. In the same way, tatha aksharat. Tatha aksharat vishvam iha sambhavati. Now, because of Sanskritam, you all must be able to enjoy every word. Tatha, yatha, yatha, prithivyam, oshadayaha sambhavanti, tatha, aksharat. You can come from the beginning, you can form three sentences. Yatha, urnanabhihi, srijate, grinnate cha. Okay, its own web. Tatha, Ishwaraha jagat srijate grinnate cha. Yatha prithivyam oshadayaha sambhavanti. Tatha Ishware jagat sambhavati. Yatha sataha purushat keshalomani sambhavanti. I'm supplying the verb. Yatha sataha purushat keshalomani sambhavanti. Tatha tatha yatha ishva tatha yatha sataha purushat keshalomani sambhavanti tatha aksharat brahmanaha iha tatha aksharat brahmanaha iha vishvam sambhavati. Brahmanaha vishvam sambhavati. Vishvam means this entirety of universe of innumerable countless forms, names and functions originate, come into existence from this imperishable reality obtaining in him of consciousness implied by the term Brahma. Which means there is no jagat other than Ishvara, the two causes. And the two causes are nothing but only Ishvara. And there's no Ishvara other than Brahma. therefore the whole cosmos is what? Ishvaraha. Ishvara is Brahma, the whole cosmos is Brahma. Is it clear? Why? Because Ishvaraha is nothing but the cause. The cause of Jagat Karanam is Ishvaraha. Jagat Karanam Bhagavan. Karanam, Karyam, Karyat, Abhinnam. Karyam, Karanat, Abhinnam. The effect is inseparable, non-separate from, effect is inseparable, non-separate from its cause. Therefore what? Effect is the cause. Bangle is gold, chain is gold, but gold is not chain or bangle. Waves are water. Water is not the waves. Water is not the ocean, but the ocean is thing but water. See, cause is not the effect, but the effect is nothing but the cause. Cause is independent of the effect, whereas effect cannot exist independently without the cause. Therefore, effect is mithya. Cause is satya. In fact, effect is nothing but the cause. Effect is not countable as a second thing other than the cause. Cause alone has countability. Effect has no countability because it doesn't have independent existence. Okay, because effect is not countable, effect is mithya. Similarly, here the whole effect is the cause. Now you can look at it. If you say there's Ishvara, a thing but Abhinna Nimitta Upadana Karanam is Ishvara. This is the concept of Ishvara. Okay? Who is Bhagavan? Who is Ishvara? Abhinna Nimitta Upadana Karanam of Jagat. Jagataha Abhinna Nimitta Upadana Karanam eva Ishvara. The one inseparable, intelligent, and material cause of the universe alone is said to be Ishvara. And the effect is non-separate from Ishvara, means the universe is non-different from Ishvara. The whole effect is the cause, means the whole universe is Ishvara. Ishvara is not the universe, but the universe is nothing but Ishvara. What is this universe? Vishvam eva rupam yasya. Saha Vishvarupa Bhagavan. Okay, look at Bhagavan as what? Vishwarupaha. Bhagavan is in the form of the universe. Universe is the cosmic form of Bhagavan. The cosmos is the form of Bhagavan. Now, where is Ishvara? Ishvara kutra asti. Ishvara, you have to ask the question, Ishvara kutra nasti. Okay, kutra nasti. Time is Ishvara, space is Ishvara, everything which exists within the realm of time and space is Ishvara. All that is there is only Ishvara. That is why Hindu Sanatana, we are neither pantheist nor are we monotheist. Okay? We are polytheist, monotheist, pantheist, no confusions. Okay? Because we don't say Bhagavan is one, Bhagavan, gods are many. No confusion. What is only Bhagavan? There is no second thing other than Bhagavan here. We Advaita Darshanam. Okay? We say all that is, there is only Bhagavan, which is Advaita Darshanam. And who is this Ishvara? If I again ask, there is no Ishvara other than Brahma. The whole cosmos is Ishvara. Ishvara is only a title given to Brahma. Therefore, Ishvara is Brahma. Therefore, whole Jagat is Brahma. Then you can say what? Brahma Mokkate, Para Brahma Mokkate. Mokkate, you must be able to say that. So this is made very clear here. Now, let us see the next one. The important lesson is Abhinna Nimitta Ishvara Abhinna Jagataha Abhinna Nimitta Upadana Karanameva Ishvara. But here, an important lesson. The knowledge. How the matter is inseparable from knowledge. Because matter does not have the capacity of its own to reveal its own existence. The matter can have the status of being existent only if it becomes known. Suppose if it is unknown, anything unknown is as good as non-existent. So it loses the if matter is unknown, the unknown matter loses the status of being existent. Okay? So unknown means what? As good as non-existent. So for the matter to have the status of being existent, should become known. For it to become the known, it is dependent on what? Knower. Therefore, existence of knower is the existence of the known. Because known is dependent on the knower to become the known. Whereas knower consciousness is not dependent on the known for its existence. The knower without the known can lose the status of being the knower. But the knower doesn't lose the status of being existent. Okay? The consciousness does not lose the status of being existent. The consciousness loses only the status of being the knower. The knower qualification will go without the known. But existence of consciousness will not disappear. Whereas the known will lose its status of being existent without the knower. The known is dependent, the knower is independent. Therefore, the known doesn't have existence outside of the knower. Therefore, is always inseparable. The knower is knowledge, pure knowledge, consciousness. That is why we say the known is also, known is as good as the effect, knower is as good as the cause. Therefore, the known is the knower is not the known. This is another way of understanding it. Now let us do the next mantra. Tapasa chiyate brahma. Tapasa chiyate brahma. Tato namabhijayate. Tapasa chiyate brahma. Tato namabhijayate. Annat prano manas satyam. Lokah karma suchamrutam. Tapasa chiyate brahma. Tato namabhijayate. Annat prano manas satyam. Annat prano manas satyam. Lokah karma suchamrutam. Tapasa chiyate brahma. Tato namabhijayate. Annat prano manas satyam. Lokah karma suchamrutam. Okay. In this specific mantra, eighth mantra, so six and seven are important mantras. Now the eighth mantra discusses only for our own understanding. The eighth mantra discusses different stages involved in creation. So we are going to negate the creation itself is not there. What is only manifestation. To understand that, Upanishad discusses creation and for it to say how Brahman is Jagat Karanam. To establish Brahman as Jagat Karanam, thereby to make us understand what is there is only Brahma, there is no Jagat at all. To help us arrive at this ultimately Upanishad's aim is to help us, to enable us arrive at the fact that all that is there is only Brahma. Absolutely what is only Brahma. The universe is empirically there, Absolutely, there's no universe other than Brahma. Therefore, there's only the universe is nothing but manifestation of Brahma, Ishvara. To help us understand this fact, Upanishad discusses the creation. And then, for that purpose, Upanishad discusses different stages involved in creation in this mantra. Which means the entirety of the universe, entirety of the creation, does not come into existence overnight. Okay? At a stretch. When you see any plant, you will see a seed and how the seed, the same seed which is sown gets soaked in water, bulges, gradually sprouts come out. And then the sprout starts growing slowly. It becomes a sapling, then a small plant, then a big plant, then it becomes a big tree. They take some time again for the fruit tree to have the fruits and flowers, etc. Certain years it takes. Which means no plant becomes a huge tree or a full-fledged plant overnight. There is a time. The time is involved. From the condition of being a seed, and to reach the condition status of being a full-fledged plant or tree, between these two stages, okay, there are many other stages. The plant has to go through different stages to become a full-fledged big plant, big tree, huge tree. Initially, if you take any bijam, any seed, that seed actually, nothing you can see. Everything is unmanifest in the seed. Imagine a big tree, okay? You know this banyan tree, if you take, the fruit of a banyan tree is a tiny fruit. And within that banyan fruit, that fruit, there's so many tiny, tiny, tiny seeds. And each seed is capable of producing a huge banyan tree. Tiny little seed, what are all unmanifest? You can see the roots, the branches, the huge trunk, the leaves, the plant, the fruits, the flowers, everything is unmanifest. Everything. Therefore, where are they? The latent, they all remain latent. The seed is very latent, is dormant. And when the land is tilled properly, when it is prepared perfectly, when adequate water also is supplied, then gradually, the seed which remains latent, which remains completely the plant which remains unmanifest in the seed, slowly starts coming up. It bulges, it opens up, then sprout comes out. And as the sprout comes out, the seed has to, the break open and then it comes out. So it takes time for the seed to bulge, to start sprouting. It has to become prepared for even sprouting. Therefore, like that here also, Upanishad wants to tell us how gradually it is gradually the creation comes into manifestation. Please understand, this whole discussion in this mantra is not to establish creation. Please remember, Oh, the way Upanishad discusses the creation, the four stages involved in creation, etc., should not be mistaken for create that Upanishad is not interested in establishing creation. It means Upanishad is going to make us understand the fact there's no creation, there's only manifestation. But it's discussed here just to make us understand there's no Jagat without Brahma. Really speaking, there's no Jagat at all. What is only Brahma? In seeing that, where are you? Where is I? This understanding of what is Brahma should help us resolve our ahankara. And having our ahankara resolved, we discover our freedom. Okay? We are very selfish. Let us not forget. What do we study this Upanishad for? Okay? So what, Brahman is the whole Jagat? No. Repeatedly listening, understanding the subtlest abstract fact that all that is, there's only Brahman. What is the benefit we have? We have to appreciate, understand the fact that there is no ahankara other than Brahma. We cognitively, we have resolved our individuality. We have to intellectually resolve our ahankara in Brahma. Once you resolve the ahankara, you will see suddenly the miracle happening. You are absolutely free. You're free from all the so-called binding things. It is for that freedom we are studying this Upanishad. Let us not lose sight of our goal. Okay? Yeah. So we'll continue the next class. Okay? Any questions?
So, Jane, is it mantra 6 when we're talking about, Nityam Vibham Sarvagatam.
Yeah.
Sukshmam Tadavyayam.
Yeah.
And then we use the term Yad Bhuta Yonihi. Right? It's Ishwar, isn't it, really? Bhuta Yoni.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. The whole thing I told you, Ishwar only. Again, I told you, Ishwar is Brahma. See, Jagadi is Ishwar, Ishwar is Brahma. So Jagadi is Ishwar. So like A is equal to B, B is equal to C, A is equal to C. See, Bhuta Yonihi, there comes all objective case. So Bhuta Yonim, Dhiraha Paripashyanti. The wise people see Bhuta Yonim.
Is there a reason why Upanishad uses Bhuta Yonim?
No. Yonihi means cause. Bhuta Yonim. Why Upanishad uses means? Upanishad wants to show that Brahman is the cause of the universe. By showing Brahman as the cause of the universe, Upanishad also teaches us there's no Isha other than Brahma. Thereby says, when you say Upanishad is showing Brahman as the cause, means the universe is not separate from Brahman. The purpose of showing Brahman as the cause of the universe is to make us understand the Upanishad has no independent existence of its own. The universe is not countable as parallel reality. The universe is non-separate from Brahman. Therefore, to make us understand the universe is Ishvara, the universe is Brahma. Don't go on search for Ishvara elsewhere. Everything what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you see, everything that is here is only Bhagavan. And that Bhagavan who alone is the of the whole is your own Swarupam. And what is the Swarupam? That is Brahma. Okay? Jagat is Ishvara, Ishvara is Brahma. Which means there's no Ishvara. Ishvara is only a qualification attributed to Brahma from the standpoint of the universe. Is it clear? To make us understand the word particularly, it is used. Bhuta Yonihi, cause of the universe, cause of all beings, the source of the origination of all beings. Okay, I'll see you all later for Samskrit class. Yes, Krishan.
Hi, Swamiji.
Yeah?
Just wanted to quickly ask a question. We often say that Brahmins, we can't attribute any qualities to Brahman, yeah. But then we use terms like limitless and timeless and
yes,
changeless.
Yes.
Are we trying to describe the undescribable? We're still limited by language. Is it a case of we are assigning attributes when we say it's imperishable, then it's timeless and it's changeless, or is it a case of we're just using a certain language that to describe the undescribable?
Yes. No, we don't really describe. Those words are not words describing Brahman. Those words serve as definitions of Brahman. Those words help us arrive at reality in terms of given nature. So those words reveal Brahman by implication through negation. By saying what Brahman is not. Okay. Let's see later for Samskrit class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Grubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.